Well, before we begin, I think we'll just all kneel together in reverence before God in prayer. Shall we kneel? Oh God, here we are again. We thank you, God, for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ from the dead. That gave us an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God, we come before you this morning in the fear of God. We fear and tremble before your awesome presence and before your mighty sovereign grace that you have poured out upon this earth. We want to stand behind this pulpit this morning and open our mouth in the fear of God, recognizing that what we say would give direction to people's lives and has eternal consequences. And I pray, O God, that you would give an anointing upon the ears of the people, an anointing upon their hearts, an anointing upon our heart and lips, Lord, that it would blend together for that which would redound to the glory of God. And Father, we thank and bless you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to see the saints of God from various places gathered here in the North Midwest. And I pray, dear God, you build your kingdom in their hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, somewhat by request and somewhat by personal sensing a need here this morning, we would like to speak a message a little on the negative side and let Brother Denny catch back up on the positive side when he gets up. But when we get into a week of meetings like this or a weekend, we are often a bit overwhelmed as we get a pulse and a sense from the people. We sometimes have about five more messages we'd like to preach by the end of the week, and we get into difficulty knowing how to do all of that. But so I'm going to use the opportunity this morning to preach a message, and we're going to give an invitation at the end of this message. And those of you who feel led to deal with something specifically in your life, we'll go into the back room and deal with it. When you're done, you can come back out to the service. Brother Denny will have the second message a while, and we will catch up with the service later. So when we only have five services like this, we try to pack into it as much as we can, and that's the reason we're doing it that way here this morning. I would like to speak on the subject of the cobweb of the occult. The cobweb of the occult. Let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Well, I may read verse 26 also, just to give you a little idea how this works as Paul makes his plea to the Ephesian church. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And then, over in 2 Corinthians 2:11, another verse that I'm going to pick out there. Verse 10:11, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. And if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'd like to echo these two verses at the beginning of this lesson this morning. As we look at the occult, that we would have to say also with the Apostle Paul that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. But I feel as I look back over American history, and perhaps it's a little bit that way in world history, but especially so in American history. In the past, we looked at the occult as something that was happening in Africa or in South America with the witch doctors there in Jamaica, and truly it was. And a lot of missionaries would not encounter so much of it here in the United States, but they would there. But it seems like time is changing. And once again, we have to say we are not ignorant of his devices. And we would say to you this morning, as Christians, don't give place to the devil. Because what is happening, there are a lot of Christians that are giving Satan some ground or a foothold or a door, an open door into their lives, and they are not prospering for God. They have no joy. They do not have assurance. They do not have victory over sin. And there seems to be a hook in their life that holds them back from advancing for the kingdom's sake. And many times we find this is because they have given place to the devil. Now sin does it, anger does it, just like this says. It is not only in the occult that this happened, but in any area where we give place to sin and excuse it and allow it to proceed in our lives without thoroughly rooting it out by repentance and confession and imploring the God of heaven to forgive us, we give place to the devil. And all at once, here we are. And that is why we have to put religious facades on our faces, and that's why we cannot advance in our Christian life and have no power over the enemy and cannot have a positive influence, and instead the world is an encroachment and coming in on us and eroding our lives instead of us making a positive effect and being overcome evil with good and overcoming the devil's kingdom and advancing into his territory and into his kingdom with the power of Jesus Christ, which is the way it ought to be. But Christians are powerless because they have given place to the devil. And we are not ignorant of his devices. They are many this morning, and there is no possible way that I can cover them all. I can only give you a little bit this morning to recognize that there are ways in which Satan works, and specifically so in this country today. Like I said, in years gone by, we had the Indian powwow to deal with by the Native Americans when we came here and our forefathers came here. And many of them came out of Ireland and Scotland and Germany and Switzerland, and they brought a lot of European witchcraft with them when they came. And it just united together with some of the Indian powwowing and has survived all these years. But yet at the same time, there was enough of God consciousness and enough of hatred for those things that it seemed like it went through quite a dip in society. And all at once, it's on the rise again. And we have everything binding together in bringing an occultic arrest and truly a cobweb, we would have to say, upon our lives and upon the churches and upon society today, like I have never seen it or known of it in the last 100 years. And I'll explain a little bit more of that. But Satan's devices are specifically geared and specifically designed to bring us into that cobweb. And the reason I call it the cobweb of the occult is just like that. Here we have a spider up in the corner of a room, and he puts out his cobweb. You know, he builds a web across there. And some fly, just flying freely around the room, all at once flies into the cobweb. And it's so designed that it's sticky. And it gets it into its wings and legs, and it struggles and buzzes around in there, you know, and it just can't get out. And here comes the old spider down out of the corner, and he's going to have himself a breakfast. That's what he designed the cobweb for. He's going to have a meal because he caught a fly in his web. And the web is designed to catch flies. And that's the way I feel the occult is working, and Satan is working the same way. And he's putting out this cobweb through a subtle, very, very subtle means. Yes, even in the Christian churches. And he is catching people who are naive and who are not looking where they're going. They're not walking circumspectly. They do not study the book as they ought to. And therefore they smack right into the middle of the cobweb. And the next thing you know, they are in there buzzing around and flailing their arms and legs spiritually. And they're not getting anywhere, and the devil has them bound. And we believe that Jesus came to set the captive free and deliver those that are bound. And we proclaim that at the beginning, throughout the message, and in the end. Because there is an answer for these things. But we have worked with a lot of people that have been in this cobweb, and we know the hooks and the hindrances that are in their life and the great restraint upon them that they are unable to progress and to prosper in their Christian lives. And therefore, this is a burden that is so heavy upon us, and also why we believe that a subject like that is even necessary to give on a Sunday morning in a crowd like this. There is an explosion of occultic practices. No, I do not believe that there is a demon behind every bush. And I do not deal with the demon of anger and the demon of gluttony and the demon of all this and that. I do not do that because that is just plain old sin. But beyond that, I do believe there is an occultic realm that is affecting people's lives. And they do not understand what's going on, even though they have occultic manifestations in the middle of their homes, or in the middle of their hearts, or in the middle of the night. They have occultic dreams, and they have occultic manifestations, and they are baffled by it, and they cannot figure out what is going on. But I tell you, it is real out there, and it is real in many Christians' lives, and that's why I sense the need of preaching on it this morning. If I could turn to 1 Samuel 28, and I'll just go up through a few scriptures here quickly because I have much more to cover than I can. And in 1 Samuel 28, in the life of King Saul, you know the story of how Saul played into the occult. But in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 7, verse 6, the Bible says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Now that is the basic root problem, that the occult gets such a foothold in the Christian church. First of all, their deliverance was not complete when they became converted. They had this thing of a weak conversion and a low-key conversion which did not clean up their lives. They opted not to truly repent of all the things that they were involved in. And for that reason, they go on and try to live the Christian life. But they do not hear from God. God does not reveal Himself to them in a very real way. And then they do not understand what's going on. And that's why, as Brother Denny said last night, they run to the doctor at a drop of a hat without ever calling upon the name of the Lord. They do not know an intimate God that way, that answers their call and their cry and their needs many times. God, heaven seems brass. Yes, they want to serve God. Yes, they think they're Christian, but heaven is brass, and God, don't talk to me anymore. And when that happened to Saul, he tread a path down to the witch of Endor to try to get some answers. And the reason he went down there is because God didn't talk to him anymore. His spirit had departed from him. And the reason his spirit had departed from him is because there was sin in his life. And that's the way it is with you and I. Unless we cleanse the vessel of our heart, God is going to be estranged from us. We will have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And God's not going to talk to us like He ought to. And because of that, many of us are still going to be bumbling around and with a mixture of the two. And that is not pleasing to God. But He says here, "Then said Saul unto the servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And then you know the story. He went down there and he told her to divine to him, and he needed to get some answers, and God wasn't giving him any more. And God miraculously sent Samuel, who had died, in a miraculous way up to talk to Saul and to tell him what he needed to hear. And the witch at Endor nearly went berserk when Samuel came up, because she was used to familiar spirits and demons, but she was not used to a prophet of the Lord coming forth. And I believe personally that that is what happened, and Saul got his reproof and rebuke from Samuel. But I just want to show you how that when heaven is silent, then men go and they want an answer. And I think what happens in today is because people do not exercise James chapter 5 in anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And then calling for the elders of the church. They don't do that anymore. And then they're going off some alternative medicine here and some alternative medicine there in order to try to get the help they need for their health problems. And they are playing right into the cobweb of the occult, and they are giving place to the devil by many of them, and they are doing it innocently. Many do not realize what they are doing, and for that reason, we would have to say that, like I said, many of them, and I don't understand all this, but it's again due to the low-key spirituality in America. We have lost our discernment. We have lost our keen eye for that which is right and that which is evil. And that is why so many people play into it. They are so naive. They are not alert. They do not have their antennas like they ought to. And they do not understand. And so they just walk right into it. The next thing you know, they are occultically affected. And they have all kinds of depressions and all kinds of hindrances. And dark things started happening in their life. And they wonder, what happened? Where did I get this? And it takes a manifestation of the Spirit of God or a revelation from God many times to understand what happened. Also, we recognize that many people do not preach on it. Many churches. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And that is also what has happened. Just to show you that a people should be seeking their God. But because there's such a cold spirituality in the lives and hearts of many of God's people, they go to something that peeps and mutters. And I'll tell you, he says it here so clear, to the law and to the testimony. If someone does not speak to you according to this word, it is because their light went out. And the reason Christians are getting wrapped up in the occult is because their light goes out. And the light is so dim, and they have lost their understanding, and they do not seek God anymore, but seek the things that peep and mutter. And I'll tell you, that is taking in Christians by 10,000s. That is my belief. I don't know what kind of Christians they are. I can't tell you whether they're true. But I believe some of them did have some experience, but are so naive and they are so ignorant that they play into it. All right, let's just look a little bit at Hosea chapter 4. And by the way, this was reality in Israel's day. There was a time in Israel's day when they worshiped the Lord in the temple on Saturday morning, on the Sabbath day, and the rest of the week went up to the groves and offered sacrifices to the spirits. That is the kind of mixture Israel had. These prophets were well familiar with it, and practically all of them spoke on this subject. But here Hosea chapter 4 says in verse 12, my people ask counsel of their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. Now isn't that interesting? We're living in a day of divining rods. We're living in a day of getting signs and wonders out of strange things like that. And Christian professing born-again men are walking up with a pair of divining rods and putting them on you to figure out whether you're negative or whether you're positive or whether you're sick or whether you're well or what's wrong with you. Their staff declareth unto them. That's what the Bible says. They ask counsel at their stocks and their staff to find out what's wrong with them in their body. It's sin against God. It's sin against God. It's when Christianity plays into the idolatry camp and begins to go into that, and they are caught in the cobweb of the occult when they do those things. Well, many more scriptures. I guess I'll have to yet just read Deuteronomy just to give you a little bit of a foundation for this. Back in Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, where we have the clear law of God, and this was the law for Israel all through those years when they were committing adultery with stocks and sticks and going after familiar spirits and witches at Endor and whatever else they did. This was the law of God. And that's why he says to the law and to the testimony, if it's not according to my word, it's because there's no light. Because when the light shined unto them through God and Moses, they were told this verse in verse 10 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination. Now I may just stop and explain that word. That word divination is also translated cossum. The Hebrew word kasam, K-A-W-S-A-M, if I have it right. Kasam is translated divination some places. It includes any technique that automatically bestows spiritual power in partnership with evil spirits. Even King Saul knew that divination comes through an evil spirit, for he asked the witch of Endor, divine unto me by a familiar spirit. So whenever people divine, they are seeking to know the unknown. Is my baby in my belly a male or a female? A boy or a girl? How many children are going to have? And they take a needle or a thread and go around the palm of their hand to discern those things. They try to lift bodies with fingers in levitation. And in seances try to find out from a Ouija board or from an evil spirit, you know, who am I going to marry? And those are seemingly what people thought were innocent games that they played when they were children. But they come up to the age of about 16, 18, and 19, and 25, and they end up in mental institutions today. And they are on antidepressant medicines, and they are seeing psychiatrists because of those dabblings back there. And they have no idea how to get rid of it. Those are not innocent games that people play. Those are serious things, and they are playing right into the cobweb of the occult, and now they are occultically affected and under occultic bondages because of what they have done sometime in the past. This is the Word of God. Well, then he says they use divination. The same thing I would say. Hunting for water, hunting for oil, hunting for minerals. You don't have enough electricity to push through 1 inch of dirt because you only have a few millivolts or some millivolts, not even 1 volt in your body. And the earth is ground to all electricity. And 1 inch of ground will stop your millivolt of electricity. How can you tell where water is 300 feet down in the ground? It's trying to know the unknown. And if you can find water, I tell you, you either just happen to find it, or else you divined it. And that is an evil spirit told you where it was, and showed you through your divining rods, or your pliers, or your other ways of divination. You are divining it. Observer of times. We have people that are planting their gardens. Christian people who claim to love the Lord Jesus are planting their gardens by the signs of the moon. And this day it's good to sow, and this day it's not. This day it's good to put shingles on a roof, and this day it's not, according to the signs of the moon. That is astrology. That is occultic. That does not belong in God, among God's people. Observer of times, an enchanter, or a witch. And there you have. You cannot go see a witch. If a person was to do that under the law, they were to be killed. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, which means to speak to those with the dead, of the dead, or to pull up spirits from the past and speak to them. And people do a lot of that in these days. And I tell you, spirits do come forth and talk to them. But it's not their grandmother, and it's not their wife or their husband that they call up. It's a demon. And he speaks to them in a familiar spirit that is familiar and sounds like their grandma and sounds like their husband or wife, but they are deceived by a familiar spirit. And some of the brothers and sisters in this very congregation were once in an entrapment, and because this thing is great in the religious world, where only a couple of generations ago they listened to a trance preacher, and the trance preacher divined unto them things that were unknown to other people. And he would preach year after year in a familiar spirit, and the people followed him. And there are churches all over the Midwest that follow this man's teachings, even though he's long dead. He was a man who spoke in a trance by a familiar spirit, not the Spirit of God. And by the way, there's a curse on you if you say anything against that, because they believe, they teach that it's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Nonsense! He does not have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not speak in a trance like that. for years with all kinds of extra biblical revelations and dark sayings which are not according to the written word of God. I don't know if it's known to you or not, but one of the things that circulates among Christian people sometimes are the 6th and 7th book of Moses. The 6th and 7th book of Moses are nothing more than Egyptian sorcery. Another name for the book is called the Devil's Bible. It has been in print in this country numerous times. Somebody brings it up and reprints it. It is lying in the attics of many grandmas and grandpas, and at book sales they sell them by the dozens. In the Lancaster Mennonite Historical Society book sale, I believe, I don't know how many sales that I have looked over the list of books, and there's often been a 6th and 7th book of Moses in the list, and they sell them again to the people. And they ought to be burning them. Because what is happening is this is where these funny stuff comes out, and these rituals, and you count backwards to stop blood. I was taught that as a child, and the reason why this is so precious to me of a subject is because I was a victim of this, and my grandmother was an occultist, though older Amish, and she practiced this witchcraft on me as a child. And I remember it very keenly, and she taught me to stop blood by counting backwards and through certain numbers, and there were other rituals that she had me do, and tie stuff around my neck with hidden and dark sayings sewn in a pouch, and all this garbage. And I had effects from it. And I thank God for what He has done in my life. But this thing is, I believe that the methods of this come out ultimately from this book, perhaps. Or from other black magic or white magic instructions. It is nothing but Egyptian sorcery or old wives' fables. It's nothing new. I believe this stuff comes right back out of Egypt in Moses' time. They were filled with that kind of stuff. And Egyptian sorcery is 3,000 and more years old. But then there is also the matter of alternative medicine. That is, people wanted to avoid the high cost of hospitals, and that's understandable. But that causes many people to dabble into occultic things by looking for an alternative way than a $50,000 hospital bill and heal their bodies with these things. And there is where a lot of subtle deception is coming into God's people. Health food stores deal in the stuff. Sell it. Give you books on it. Give you directions. And I'll explain a little bit more of that later. But it can be your local chiropractor that is involved in these things and practicing this thing. It might be the nice little plain lady down the road that is doing it and says, come over to me, I won't charge you anything and I'll help you. And she lays hands on you and she mutters and peeps too. And she does things to you and it seems a little funny to you, but since it's so cheap, you try it and see at least whether it'll work. The other thing is a religious connection to the occult. Unbelievable today, but what we have today in the religious world is a direct connection. It has been very interesting for me to see that the effects of the occult are exactly the same as the effects of many religious circles, including the word of faith or charismatic experiences that our people are having. Some of the speaking in tongues today, I believe, is occultic. Some is just a modern babbling that is trained and taught, but some I believe to be occultic. People being slain in the spirit. May I mention to you just for instance in this, but Benny Hinn from Orlando, Florida, that popular book writer and well known, selling millions of his books and has a 2,000 member church. That man will touch people in their forehead and they're out like a light and falling back. And here some time ago, a man had a wig on and it touched him and he fell flat and his wig flew off. And the people laughed uproariously. And so he waited till the man come to and put his wig back on, and just for the fun of it, he did it 4 more times. Well, everybody ripped and roared in the church. These are the kind of things that are going on. And he admits, I'm telling you, he admits in his book that he gets his power from the graves of Catherine Coleman and Amy Semple McPherson. Goes to the graves of these people in order to get his power. And he is so powerful now he doesn't have to touch people. He can just wave his coat and 100 people fall flat. This is occultic. This is occultic. It is not God's power. because at the same time, they cannot overcome their sin. And I tell you, it is my belief that the reason that some of these men are falling morally, it's because, and one of them who has come back in repentance admits that he himself was given to drives uncontrollably in the areas of immorality because of the fact of what he had dabbled with in the Word of Faith movement. I believe the reason they are falling is because they have played in the hands of the occult, and they are not in control anymore of their own bodies. And it is not holiness, and it is not truth. It is false teaching, false teachers, and back, I think it is in 2 Peter 2:15, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are going astray, following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And it is truly the way of Balaam, even though that is a whole message in himself, but he prophesied unto the Lord, and he performed occultic practices. He was one of those compromisers, those mixtures who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block to the children of Israel. And you know what he did? Told them to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Isn't that interesting? That's exactly what we're doing in some of the New Age medicines we're taking. We're eating things sacrificed to idols. The other thing he taught was people to commit fornication. Now, it's okay to commit fornication. And there's an awful lot of that around too today. I wonder where it comes from. When the Bible's so clear that it is not good for a man to touch a woman because he needs to avoid fornication. But this religious connection, now let me tell you, that not only is it playing up into the charismatic and the Word of Faith, and now, great granddaddy of them all, the Holy Laughter out of Toronto, where people are getting into Holy Laughter by being affected by Rodney Howard Brown starting this Holy Laughter movement in Toronto a couple years ago, and has now swept the earth. There have over more than 100,000 people going through Toronto and got the blessing, and have went to all kinds of churches in America and the rest of the world, taking their blessing, which is actually a curse, with them, and affected perhaps millions of people by now with it. I got to deal personally with a couple of people who had it. One was a young man who showed up at our Bible school last November. And he told me the story that he was just open, you know, trying to go get this and that. And he was in Northern, Vermont. So he took a trip to Toronto with some people in their church that wanted to go. And he went up there and he just played into the whole thing and got it, you know. And he went home and his mother was still spiritual enough, praise God, that when he walked in the door, she said, "Something ain't right with you, son. Something ain't right with you. I don't know what you got, but it isn't right." And she got him on his knees to renounce it, and he's doing just fine. He repented of it and cleansed his life. Another lady told us personally that when she was in the church that was promoting it, she felt the demons coming in when the men laid hands on her to get it. She felt them coming in, and she nearly went berserk and was ready for a state hospital. In fact, a number of her family have been institutionalized. And she knew something was wrong and got herself out of there and got with some other people and finally ended up renouncing that whole thing and turning away from it and getting herself free from it again. I can imagine doing evangelistic work in our future with a couple of million church people running around filled with an evil demon from a thing like that. Can you imagine what kind of work that we have as we preach repentance from those kind of things, and help people that the Lord Jesus would set them free? My! It's unbelievable. But on the other side, there is also a spiritual oppression that comes with religious extremism and legalism and work-oriented spirituality. There we have it again. We have the long faces. We have the depression. People on antidepressant medicines, just a common thing for a church to say, go get some medicine, they'll help you out, make you feel a little better. Those are things that are happening, and the people are dark, and they're depressed, and they're practicing witchcraft, and all those things are just freely going on, and the preacher gets up and he can't preach, and he gets up and nobody can pray right, and it's just a game of religion. So much depression. Darkness, spiritual oppression, dead religion, all go together. And those people, they can't get assurance of salvation. They can never win a soul to Christ. They have no power in their life. They have the old hook of the occult of the devil in them. They have given place to the devil. And they try to go on with their Christian side too, you know, to keep that up to date. And they cannot do it. One of the common areas of real bondage is the Ouija boards. A lot of times that is a beginner for a lot of people in the world, and in the liberal churches, they go buy themselves a Parker, a Ouija board, and think this is fun, an innocent thing, and they start asking that thing some questions, and the next thing you know, it starts moving around and dancing around, giving them answers, and it is occultic, and the next thing you know, they are occultically affected from messing around with it. Many, many people are greatly affected from that board. And some who have tried to burn it have seen all kinds of manifestation. It wouldn't catch fire. It jumped out of the fire and was back in the house. And they had to break it and bust it up. And it was a hard thing to get rid of because it's demonized. And it, whenever that is, there is no evangelism. Whether it's a church, a group of people, a whole profession, they do not have evangelism, no revival, no fire of God burning in their midst. No, God just doesn't move. That's because he has been majorly offended and resisted. Dean Hostetler from Indiana, who has worked with us for 30 years, says this about suicide. In every case where I have investigated suicide, a case of suicide among God's people, they were involved in the occult. Every last one of them. And I don't know how many you did, but it's just an amazing thing. When you have someone being driven and they hear a voice, go destroy yourself, you know that they have somehow played into the hands of Satan and given place to the devil. And in some cases when preachers do it because their churches have failed, it's simply that they have been so discouraged and given place to the devil in discouragement to such a point where he pushes them over the brink, I believe. Sexual perversion, homosexuality, incest, adultery, pornography, uncontrollable passions and lusts are a product of the occult. Many people have never made the connection. But they have been driven by sin. They have been driven by those debauched things. And they cannot figure out where it come from. But if you trace it back sometimes in those cases, you will find also that they have given place to the devil. There is a spirit of lust out there that comes upon people and just messes them up terribly. And they need help. They need help. They need help from God. I have said already, and dealing with people in those areas, that they are worse than animals. You know that? And it's already a terribly deplorable thing for mankind to go down on the animal level. But you deal with people that are worse than the animals, the beasts of the field. Worse than the beasts of the field. Marriage problems. Cannot love. Cannot get along. Something just tears them up all the time. They're at each other like a couple of banty roosters or something, pecking away at each other and opposing one another and angry and upset. And here they have crystals hanging around and unicorns and you know, they have watched occultic movies and played occultic games, and maybe there's a Ouija board on the shelf and all kinds of books, occultic books, which are out there by the hundreds and thousands that people pick up at stores and have them in their homes and can't understand why they can't get along with their wives. And this isn't the only problem of marriage problems. There are other things that cause marriage problems. But this one will cause marriage problems, I believe. You know, and it's so innocently done, often transferred by at family gatherings with grandpa, you know, trying to show grandson how to smell for water, and he tries it, it don't work, and father says, grandpa says, here, let me help you. And he puts his hands on him and grips him tightly, and then he has the power. It's transferred by the laying on of hands, believe it or not. You see the spiritual counterfeit? Laying on of hands is biblical and right. And I believe that gifts are given by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The Bible teaches that. Here the old devil picks it up and transfers his power with it. And I'll say, if you've been into a heavy word of faith or charismatic situation, you better consider who laid hands on you. Because there are people who have received great problems when in their stint of worship and time when they went forward for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the laying on of hands for the gift of tongues, that they come out with deep problems. And in one case I know, in Philadelphia, in one of the major players in the field of that and writers on it, she come home and they put her in an institution on the way home. She was screaming her head off like a mad woman. And they put her in a psychiatric ward on the way home from the meeting. Divination rods, water witching, pendulums. We have what is popular here in the Midwest, the radionics or black boxes. These mysterious boxes where you put your picture in or a hair from your head. And it'll divine your blood pressure and what's wrong with you and whether you have cancer or whether you don't. Or you use it to treat your fields against weeds and all this crazy stuff. Or to energize a horse before a race and just whatever you want to do. And this thing is so widespread in the communities and the Christian churches have them in their midst. And some time ago a man in South Dakota, you know, he was using them on his field and he went out and one night and his hand just swelled up to twice its size and got fish scales on it. And it scared the tar out of him and he went home weeping and deep crying and in desperation and fell on the floor. And the minister came over and he was not a spiritual man and he didn't know what to do to get help to relieve the man. And finally it went away and I just talked to somebody on the phone a few weeks ago and they say he's still having the attacks because he hasn't found cleansing in Jesus Christ. And the man is so far away from the truth that he doesn't know where to go to get help. But his wife does and she's converted and she's trying to get him convinced and at this point he's not willing yet to lose his old religion in order to let somebody help him out of this terrible dilemma that he's in. But that is a big one here in the Midwest. Many people have played into that one and are terribly affected by it. Kinesiology or muscle testing is a very popular one in alternate medicine. A doctor puts pills in your stomach or in your hand and pumps your arm to see whether you have strength. And if you do, well, it's good for you. And if you don't, it isn't. And the only connection between the pills and your hand or your bloodstream is a demon. There's no mechanical connection between those pills and you. That's either hocus pocus in some cases or else it's a demon who divines those things. Clouds of fog by the devil come over people after practicing those things. Iridology, reading of the eyes to determine what all is wrong with you. Hair analysis. Electricity and magnetism now, laying on beds of magnets, wearing plate magnets, putting them at the north end and the south end of your house to try to ward off evil diseases, under the baby crib to keep it away from the baby, under the marriage bed or the king-size bed for mom and dad to keep them well. This is ridiculous, and they are getting rich off of this stuff. People are falling for it and are playing into it. Homeopathic medicine. I have a little book here called Homeopathy. What is it? My wife picked it up at one of those nice little plain ladies down the road, you know, that sells vitamins and minerals and all that. Let me read what it says inside the cover. As it gives the table of contents, and then the next page says advantages of homeopathy. Here's what it says. It's cost effective. Well, I can believe that. Safe for infants and animals and when taken during pregnancy. Convenient to take.
No known side effects. That's a lie. Challenges epidemics. Works, listen to this, works with nature's healing force, prana, chi, kundalini. Kundalini, look it up in your Webster's dictionary, is a demon of the spine. One time in the state of Montana, I met a lady who gave herself to an Indian guru that if any woman had a demon of the spine, that one did. I believe she played right into a major guru in India that was a kundalini guru. But that lady was sitting on a straight back chair and she wrenched and wrenched and whipped around and carried on, having given herself in an immoral way to the guru and got possessed with a demon of the spine, and she was absolutely out of it. About in many ways, she and the brethren came out and said, don't waste your time with her. We have had her everywhere. We have tried to help her out and she doesn't seem to be willing or something. We just, nothing happens. She just eats up all the time of any preacher who comes around and sits you down for 2 hours, and she just wrenched and wiggled and carried on. And she says, this thing's just going up and down her spine all the time, driving her absolutely crazy. Prana and chi are the powers and the gods of the Hindus and of the Buddhists, and it's an Eastern thing. And then it says, does not suppress the body's immune system, but stimulates it. Listen to this. Deals with the whole person, mentally, spiritually, and physically. I thought so. It has spiritual effects on the people. In the back page, when it closes the book, after giving you a whole rundown of the thing, then it says this, just as homeopathy has remained in favor in the eyes of European royalty, since Hahnemann's lifetime, it will become newly discovered and promoted by influential leaders in the United States as the common men and women welcome the vibratory medicine of the 21st century. One more phrase. May the force be with you. Distributed by a born-again, professing born-again Christian lady in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. Now let's spend a little bit of time on the remedy. Like I said, much more could be said about these things, and I'm skipping a lot here, but I have to go to the remedy, because there is a remedy for these things. You are affected by the occult. You have wrong and evil manifestations. You have dark demonic dreams. You see apparitions in the corner or here and there. You know, it could be that you were in the occult before you converted and you may be having an attack. But it's also possible that you have played into the hands and into the theories and into the practices of the occult, and you're having flashbacks and effects from that. But the answer to all of that, if those things are going on in your life, and you cannot progress in your Christian life, and you never did have assurance of salvation, and you never did have any joy in your heart, and you can't get on the positive side of life, you consider these things. That possibly, you just ask God to show into your life as to whether you have been involved in these things. The answer is repentance. Repent or perish. In the old times, God winked, in the times past, God winked at their ignorance, but He now calls every man everywhere to repent. If you have dabbled in the old cult, the answer is to repent of it. Turn it around 180 degrees. Take up a cause against it. Reveal it. Expose it. Give your testimony everywhere you go. And tell people they need to be set free by the blood of Jesus. Because it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross 1900 and some years ago that is able to wash you free of that thing. And that thing has to go and leave you, and you can be just fine. Washed by the blood of Jesus. Repentance. We need to repent from these things. We need to say, thus and thus have I done. I'm sorry, God. I didn't know it. I didn't recognize it. In some cases, you might even have recognized it. You had a funny feeling, but you went on because of the pressures of the other people. The next thing is confession. Openly. and clearly confess, like the one couple here wrote a letter of their testimony for it, and others too. Give clear testimony of your deliverance from it, and you're ready to be set free, and you want absolutely no parts of it. You make the line clear that you are done with this thing, and confess it as sin against God and His Word. And then I like to say, renounce it in Jesus' name. That's an old word. The Bible talks about renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. But I like, through the years, you know, when people came out of the Catholic Church, they renounced the Catholic Church. The Anabaptists use that word a lot. They renounced their life, their evil, their occultic worship and ways and things that they had done. By the way, Catholicism is heavily occultic also. And has united Jesus Christ and the devil in occult in many of their ways of worship and doing things. In fact, I believe the Mass is occultic myself. Renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ and claim the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from it. The next thing you need to do is to gather all your paraphernalia and books and crystals and Ouija boards or whatever, and you have a bonfire in the name of the Lord. You gather that stuff together and you do it the way the Ephesians did it. They got their curious arts together, as Brother Denny said the other night, made a big bonfire. The cost was thousands and thousands of dollars to the glory of God. They cleansed their lives in a bonfire. And I found out real cleansing comes when you face it like that, and you have a bonfire, and you sing some songs of victory, and you have some prayer around the fire, or into the wood stove, or something like that, or break it in the name of Jesus, and destroy it, and rip it to pieces, or do something like that. Dump it in a river. Destroy it. And then separate yourself from all cultic worshipers and services. If the occult is unchecked, I don't care how plain, I don't care how Anabaptist or origin, I don't care how what kind of a service it is. If they have the occult unchecked and preached against in the services, and it goes around freely, and the ministers are involved, the ministers' wives are involved, you seek other fellowship. So don't commune with them. Don't commune with them. Separate yourself from them. In most cases, I believe, you may need some help. You need some brethren to pray for you. You need some brethren to help you renounce it in Jesus' name and to declare you free by the power of Jesus Christ. Perhaps if you have been greatly affected, you may need the laying on of hands. Those are proper ways to get rid of it. And may I say, yield yourself completely to Jesus Christ. Somebody who has been playing into the occult world needs to get hot for God and stay hot. Amen. You may not be able to lead a mediocre Christian life like a lot of people are, and I wouldn't take a risk on that anyhow, but if you've been serving the devil and living in a way like that, you know, the seven other spirits want to come back in and knock on your door and those kind of things, and I just tell you, you get hot for God and you proclaim deliverance on it, and you tell people the story, and you give your testimony to it, and you just yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And in that washing, and in that cleansing, and in that renouncing, and in that forgiveness, in claiming the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be set free from it. And you do not have to have those effects. I do believe that with all my heart. And many, many testimonies are around to tell you the story of how God set free. Just 2 weeks ago down in Indiana while we were having meetings, there was a young girl in the services that some heavy witchcraft occultist, he went up and tried to seduce her with a certain way, and she was home alone and her parents weren't there and she was waiting on him as a customer, and he put all this on her and did all this to her, and she didn't sleep for 5 nights after that, being occultically affected. And then when she wanted to believe on Jesus Christ, she had a lump in her chest and couldn't believe. And she wrestled, and she wept, and she carried on down there and tried to somehow get to faith and couldn't get through. Well, we thank God we had a couple with him that are sitting here tonight, this morning, who sensed what was going on and knew enough about it. And they got some help down there, and we gathered around here, and we prayed for her, and we laid hands on her in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, it was a battle, it was a fight, but she got free. And she was so free the next day, and she gave her testimony that night, and she just about couldn't stay on the floor up there behind the microphone telling everybody how free she got in Jesus' name. That is a reality. And I praise God for it. I recommend it to you and to your friends and everybody. You have a friend that you know is occultically affected. You get them a tape and you give them the tape. And they listen to it in their truck, in their car, in their privacy. I tell you what, many times God begins to knock on their door and they get set free and they get earnest about it. And because Jesus, the power of God's Spirit, does witness in your heart when you hear a message like this written by the Word of God, that is the truth. And you know that there are two kingdoms out there and that you cannot continue to compromise and mix the two together like so many are doing. But Jesus has come to set you free. So I don't know where you're at. There are many of you who have been strangers. This is the first time I preached to you in person. And I felt led to give you that message this morning and give you an opportunity that if there's such a bondage in your life, you'd like to go into a prayer room and confess it and renounce it in Jesus' name and have prayer with somebody, I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. I'm going to give an invitation here. And if that's your case, you just come up here and you kneel here at the altar. And then we'll go back to the room and we'll just let you say what you've done, say what you've played into, and all those things. Maybe ask a few questions. What about this? What about that? Maybe you just got the door open today and God will reveal things for the next couple of days. That's fine. If you do, things get revealed to you tomorrow and the next day you find a closet, get serious with God, renounce it in Jesus' name and repent of it. And go find whatever article you might have and make a bonfire when you get home. But if you need help and you'd like to have some help for that today, you come forward. And as we sing a song, then we'll try and help you. Shall we sing, brother?
Number 44.
Amen. Just come just like you are and let the Lord set you free. God bless you. You just come. You have a need in your life in this area. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, dear sister. God bless you. Just keep coming. Get free in Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. God bless you, Tammy. Amen. God bless you, sister. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Just come. End the conflict in your life. Amen. Bless God. sing another verse. If no one responds, we'll close. Bless all of you. Brother Darwin, will you lead these souls back? You follow Brother Darwin back in the prayer room.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.